Yeah, it's just like we had breakfast. That's a thing that we do. We have breakfast and we talk and then we look up stuff and then we are joking and having fun. That's home. That moment, that activity, it's home.
Hello and welcome. It is great to have you back for part two. So in part one, we finished with Alejandra sharing a perspective that really stuck with me. I asked her that as her time spent living in Europe increased, whether it has or will ever replace Honduras and Ecuador as the place that she considers her home. If you missed her response, then I'd recommend going back to having a listen, because in fact, her answer wasn't a yes or a no, but it was something that really drove home a point, no pun intended, of what it really means to feel at home rather than to be at home. So now, let's head back over to where we left off. Yeah, that is amazing. That I love that perspective on it, that home is the place where the memories and the people form that. So you could be anywhere in the world, but if you're with those memories and the people that you grew up with, that's where the home sits.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, yeah.
And to give you an example, when I was living in Germany and my friend Greg, that one I mentioned before, we are very talkative, we're very fun people and everything, but I remember we went to Prague and as a group, and on the way back, it was three of us because we all had to go to the same train station and so on. And we were sitting on our phones on the train. And the third friend asked us, are you guys in a fight? Are you guys angry at each other? We're like, no, we're cool. Oh, but you're not talking. I'm like, yeah, we don't need to talk all the time. We can be quiet and chill around each other. And that's okay. And when we would hang out, when he would come to my place, it was the same thing. We would just sit and order food and talk, just not necessarily doing anything, just existing in the same space.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's something that I always say about you're really comfortable in a relationship where you can be comfort in silence around each other.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's a lot of the time where if you feel that anxiety to ask like, oh, hey, what's up? Or hey, what's wrong? You're not really fully feeling yourself around that person or even fully understanding that person, that they are just being content in being in your environment without needing to have to verbally communicate all the time. So it's interesting that you share that view as well, because it's something that I've always said, that that's when you know you're fully in line or on the same frequency as someone, that you can just be comfortable for maybe even hours.
Yeah.
But know that the other person is still there.
Yeah. And there are people like enjoy doing a lot of things. Like, for example, like the couples, like talking about my current relationship, the couples that go hiking and go on trips and everything. Like, we started dating and 6 months later, COVID hit. So we haven't had a chance to travel together and so on. And a friend of mine was looking at her relationship and then at my relationship. And she was like, oh, but you guys don't do anything. And I'm like, yeah, I do a lot all day. I'm a freelancer. I jump from one thing to the next. I'm always on calls or doing something for a client or busy or have a million things on my to-do list. I like to be with somebody with whom I can do nothing with. Mm. We're talking, we're watching something, then we stop and we start talking again, and then just existing. That's what I want. And for everybody's different. There's somebody else gonna be like, we need to go like for a jog, and like I think it's great and I'm excited to be able to go to museums when they open again and to travel and so on. But also I want to be able to chill. For his birthday, I actually went to The Hague and we rented a room in a hotel because that was the closest thing to travel that we could do. And we were having breakfast and in bed, and I was just reading a book and he was on his phone. We were just enjoying being in the same space, doing completely different things.
That's amazing. And you talked about the being very busy with freelancing, which I think is part of the package when you become a freelancer. And I've looked into what you do, and I think it's an amazing initiative. And you've touched on it briefly, but you know, for the sake of the people listening, what exactly is the initiatives behind what you do, and why have you chosen to take that route?
Yes. So when I decided to move here and start do my BA, and I figured I don't want to stop my career. I don't want to have that hole in my resume. So I'm going to start freelancing. And after a while, I realized I don't want to just make a logo for a person that can work with me or work with 20 other designers. And then I realized there was this gap of people who need services, design services, but never get approached by a designer. like smaller businesses, nonprofits, government organizations. There are people who need services who have like, check out almost all nonprofits, almost small nonprofits have either terrible logos, terrible flyers, unmanageable websites. And I put on my resume that I want to do good work for good people. I want to help people have an impact. And that doesn't mean working for free, but that means adapting myself to serve people who want to do good things. To give you an example, if somebody comes to me and says, I need a logo for a cookie company. I'm like, okay, that's amazing. What's your catch? It's like, how do you bring value to your community? It's like, oh, I provide a very nice cookie. Like, oh, that's great. And then if somebody else comes to me and says, like, I want to have a cookie company and I want to work with people who have disabilities or freshly arrived refugees or people who have mental struggles, I'm going to choose the second one because they are the ones that are bringing impact and they're the ones that are going to have that largest ripple effect. Will they make the most profits? Will they win the most awards? I honestly don't care.
Yeah.
I care about, how can I help this person do good things and put good things out in the world? And that's what I'm focusing on.
That's exactly what I resonated with when I looked into your website and heard that this is what you're doing. And I love that you've taken that stance, because I think the world is moving more to a place where it's a shift away from profit and into genuine impact on where it's needed. And one thing I'd love to get your views on, from what I've seen, the world is moving to being more catering to freelancing. I did read somewhere that I think, you know, by 2027, 50% of the jobs could be freelancers. Mm-hmm. But the whole idea is that the working sphere has shifted. But what I also looked into is that the education system hasn't caught up with this trend of moving towards the freelancing space. And I think it's the author Seth Godin who says, it was designed to train people to have a lifetime of productive labor as part of that industrial revolution. So it's the idea of memorizing so that you can be the most efficient and also not asking questions, right? As we move to this world of this future generation of leaders and freelancers, where it's a shift away from memorizing and into being a self-learner, being able to evolve and ask the right questions. Do you think that there is a gap in the way schooling is in creating this next generation of freelancers and people who can really have that innovative impact?
I do. I think that the whole is not only in the school system. I think it's a societal thing that we are not trained to ask why or to think critically. And like, that's a thing that we should, I do agree that the school system has flaws. Like, I wish somebody had explained to me how a mortgage works in school. Or that I had accounting class when I was in Mexico as part of the curriculum. We learned, oh, this is how you balance a cost and profit sheet in a store. I'm like, yeah, but I wish someone had explained to me how scholarships work, how asking for a government grant works, how all those things work, or how a checking account, although those don't exist anymore, but how a credit card works and stuff like that before, while I was in school. That would have helped me make better choices. I actually interviewed for my podcast a woman called Osana Bear, and she works for JA Financials, which is an association, a nonprofit, that brings that kind of knowledge to the school system in Canada. And it's super interesting. I'm very passionate about like financial education. But I do agree that there is a gap, because all those things came from asking questions, from thinking like, what can I do next? What is my next step? Where do I need to go to achieve what I want to achieve? Not just why I'm challenging this or why this is wrong. Ask more like, how can I fix it? What impact can I have in this system? And I think that's also a problem, that's why we sign up to these ideas that belong to other people without taking a second to look at ourselves and our lives and see, how can I promote this or how can I work with this? Not only amplify the voices of other people, but also ask, what is my voice? What is the thing that I am doing? What is the thing that I am bringing to the table? So to give you an example, when Greta Thunberg, and I have very unpopular thoughts about Greta, she was calling everybody to not go to school and to go protest for one day to make this movement and show the government that we were fighting and everything for against global warming. And all my classmates who are a lot younger than me and who have not had these experiences of critical thinking were like, yeah, we have to go. We have to skip school. And I'm like, oh, I'm not doing it. I would rather go to school. I paid a tuition to be here. Because I was freelancing and I'm paying it myself. I want to use the money that I'm actually investing here. And they're like, no, but you're not fighting with us. And I'm like, well, the shoes that I'm wearing right now, I didn't get them from H&M. I buy them from a company that takes recycled bottles and turns them into shoes. I don't buy clothes, fast fashion clothes. I thrift my clothes, and I'm not traveling as much as I wish because I know the impact that traveling has. And they were all having these moments of anxiety of, I don't know what the future's going to hold. They have to hold on to this new messiah that tells me there's a fix. I'm like, but question yourself. Question, how are you going to fix it? What steps are you going to take? And by doing that, you shared that experience with others and you propose those new options.
I love the words that you've used there a lot, because it's another thing that really stuck out to me. And it was... I think he was a Harvard professor, but Dan Rothstein, he said, and linked to that same point around questioning, it's not even just about asking the questions, but it's about being more effective at asking questions. And so what I really love in your story is that you weren't just saying, how can I do good for the world? You were saying, how can I myself, or how am I myself effectively making an impact that is going to affect as many people as possible? And I think that's what separates what you were doing, where you're saying, yes, I fully agree with the idea that we need to treat the environment better. What am I doing to fulfill that thought that I have? And like you said, you know, all of the things that you do. Whereas it becomes very easy to not ask the right question and just think, cool, I'm protesting, so I'm doing my bit. Sure, but what in your own personal life are you actually doing towards the cause that you're protesting? So I think that's really powerful.
And then it expands because, so do you know how now there's this whole thing against disposable straws? Like you should never use disposable straws and so on. I think it comes from a very privileged place to say that everybody should have a reusable straw on their bag. And it comes from, and that's my issue with Greta actually, that the solutions she proposes, a lot of them work for people that are like her, but don't work for people who are not like her. So a reusable metal straw costs, let's say, like $10. How dare I ask my maid that I know how much money she makes, I know that she's supporting herself, her son, and his son's 4 kids. How dare I ask her to not use those $10 to feed her family for a week, but to use it to buy a disposable straw? How dare I ask somebody who's making in, I don't know, India or Africa, or a homeless person here in the Netherlands who's barely surviving, asking them to make those changes? It's not possible. Also, there is this YouTuber called Shane Burka, and he's talking about, for him, a reusable straw is not possible because of the shape they have. They're straight. He needs the bendy part of a disposable straw. Those things exist for a reason. And there comes the part of questioning my privilege and my life and the things that I can do and things that are easy for me. And then go taking the next step and being like, okay, but this is not everybody has my situation. Not everybody was born lucky like I was. There is, again, in the back of my mind, that little girl who was not born lucky in the same place at the same time as I was, but doesn't have the same chances that I have. And we see it. So in the last few months, I've been educating myself a lot about inclusive design. Because as a designer, I look at a website and I think, okay, it's the pictures and the typography and everything is great. And then through this process of education, I'm asking myself, if I wasn't able to see properly, I wear glasses, but if I was not able to see, how would this affect me? How can I change this? And educating myself, so when a client comes and says, I want to make a website, I have already that in the back of my head, thinking like, okay, I have to put alt text in these images so somebody who's using a screen reader can read them. And again, that comes from questioning and being like, what's missing in my industry? What am I not thinking about? What is this person not thinking about? And how can we integrate those better?
And it is the first time I interacted with you. You were talking about this and you said stuff that I hadn't even thought of. And so I think it's just as important to be able to listen to the right questions. But, you know, if you look in history at people who have effectively asked questions, so the amputated leg, and, you know, many people will know the example of Oscar Pistorius, who had two amputated legs and won the Paralympics, right?
Mm-hmm.
The leg design was initially like, okay, let's make an amputated leg that will replicate a normal leg, which makes sense. And then I can't remember the name of the creator, but he said, well, actually, how can I better design this to optimize the performance of the amputee? And then that's where the curved structure came about, because it gave the fluidity to move very quickly in the running motion, but also that spring through the curve to be able to, I think it was compared to jumping like a cheetah can, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's these kind of innovations, and there's other ones in medicine. There's a lot in medicine where it's just asking the right question to find the right scientific way of doing it. But exactly with what you're doing, you're effectively asking the questions of how can I take what's there and figure out what's missing to be able to find something that can make it better. And so that's why I'm really glad that you're able to share this, because I love what you're doing, and I think your work will be able to make a massive difference to the people that need it.
I really hope so, and that's my dream. That's what I want. I want to be able to make something that makes somebody else's life better.
Mm.
And again, I wouldn't have the impact that Bill Gates has had. I wouldn't have the impact that Strive Masiyawa had in Africa, bringing Econet to all African countries. I won't have that. But if I can just make one person's life better, then I'm good. I'm satisfied. And so right now I'm working with a friend of mine on a project that is about emotional agility.
Okay.
And creating a tool for teachers. She's a teacher. So we're combining our two disciplines in creating this tool that can help kids understand emotions better. Because when you're a child between the ages of 3 and 7, everything is... you have an imagination, but you cannot tell the difference between what's real and what's in your head. They don't think in abstracts, they think in concrete. So what we want to do is create this tool so teachers in the classroom can teach a child how to feel that feels anxiety. So because you feel it in your body first, you feel like your chest starts flaring up, you feel a weight on you, you feel all these things. How can I create something that helps this one child communicate how they're feeling or express how they're feeling or how something else makes them feel without being able to say, I feel anxious or I feel sad or I feel happy or this person makes me feel this way? And if that thing that I make, if that time that I invest goes into one day, one kid says, I feel this way, to tell their teachers right now, this is how I'm feeling, this object here, this is how I'm feeling. And that makes click and they get what they need because they use something that I designed, that I made, then that's great. Then I'm satisfied. I help that one person express themselves or communicate or help somebody else. So that is the goal, at least to me.
Yeah.
And then of course I have clients that I do just for money because I have to survive somehow. But it comes from having that drive and to wanting to invest that time in that place.
That's amazing. And just in a similar way of being able to help that one person, you know, even for me, I hope that even if just one person listens to this conversation and is inspired to reach out to you for the work that you're doing, then I already feel like this episode has done its duty. And I mean, I'll put your contact details in the show notes, but what would be the best way to get hold of you if someone is really resonating with what you've said?
Through my website, I have a link there to like book a 30-minute call, and that's a free thing because I just want to like talk to people.
Yeah.
And let's talk, let's get to know each other. And if I am not the right person for you, I am happy to send them to somebody else and be like, hey, if you need this thing that's out of my scope, I know somebody that can help you with that. And to give you another example, there is this documentary on Netflix called Abstract.
Okay.
And it's about different designs. And there's one, it's about shoe design. And it's, I know, like, I think his name is Tig. In my mind, his name is Tig, but he has a really weird name. That's the problem. That his name is not John. It's something really weird. Tig, I think. And he's the one who designed the Air Jordans from Air Jordan 5 to 8, not the last ones, but the 5 last ones.
Okay.
He did them for years. And he's now the one working with Nike, I think, in designing the Back to the Future shoe.
Yep, yep.
And the shoe that you can like regulate how it's going to be tight and so on. And I read an interview with him in which he's saying, this thing that I'm making, it's gimmicky. I'm making the Back to the Future shoe.
Yeah.
But in the back of my head, I also know that this system can help somebody who has Parkinson's or an amputation, a person who cannot tie their shoes. This mechanism can help them.
That it's amazing because I was so intrigued to know what it looks like that I have looked it up. So I definitely recommend someone who hasn't seen what it looks like to take a look. They are really like a space boot.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like it. I like it, but I don't know if I like it. I probably would. It looks very comfortable, that's for sure.
There is this other story. There's a kid who I'm terrible with names. But I think it's an 18-year-old who designed socks for his grandfather.
Okay.
Because his grandfather has Alzheimer's and dementia, and he will get up in the middle of the night. And his mom would always be terrified that he would leave the house. So what he did is that he made socks that have a sensor in the heel. So when his grandfather gets out of bed, it beeps, waking up his mom. So his mom can sleep calmly and he can sleep calmly now, knowing that if the grandfather gets out of bed and puts his feet on the ground, it's going to beep.
Amazing.
And they can wake up and be like, okay, he's awake. If it doesn't beep, means that he's still in bed. And that comes from asking questions and asking, Okay, what is the problem? How can I fix this? How can I put a little bit more of myself in it? And that's not a product that it's out in the market. That didn't come from somebody saying, how can I make money? How can I profit from this problem? It came from, there is a problem. I want to fix it.
And equally, it's the, and it goes back to what you've said. It was the idea of how can I have an impact on mine and my family's life. You know, it's mm-hmm. that small picture thing where you often don't realize that if it's making my life and my family's life easier, there's probably other people's lives and families' lives that are going to be made easier by it. Instead of always thinking of like, okay, how can I straight away impact millions of people? I need to come up with this huge idea that's gonna go in the newspapers all over the world. And that often restricts people because they're thinking so big that they lose the vision of like, right, how can I just help to solve these problems that are out there through what do I identify in my own life that I need help solving?
Yeah.
So, you know, like you say, just, you know, I'm happy to help that one person, but the chances are if you're helping one person, there's probably other people out there that need it, but you're just thinking, let's start with that one person and then let it grow.
Yeah, let's start by asking questions, understanding the questions. And like I said, I am just now getting involved into these inclusive design and to thinking about these other things, but that came from asking questions. And I know that I'm not an expert by it. There are so many more people that are also very knowledgeable. And I think going back to the immigrant experience, it comes from the fact that when I got to a new country, I didn't know how to do anything. I didn't know how to, so in Germany, you have that thing that you can bring back the bottles and get money back for that. Oh, yeah. I didn't know how that functioned. I didn't know how that worked. I had to be humble and say, I don't understand this. Can somebody please explain that to me? And being okay with being in a new space, being in a space where you don't understand things. And then once you're comfortable with the space, explaining it to somebody else. And then when you enter a new challenge, come back again with that curiosity of it and say, okay, there is somebody else who can teach me how to do this. It's okay that I don't know how to do this. I've never had this experience before. So that's okay. And I think jumping from so many countries made me very adaptable. Maybe made it so I am fine with not understanding a language and not jumping and not only thinking, how can I fix it? But it's like, how can I get the information to come through this challenge? And asking questions, it was really a huge part of that.
Amazing. Amazing. I wish you the best of luck with all that. And I truly don't have any doubt that you're going to be able to achieve big things, even though I know we've said start with the small. I connect with you so well, and I'm hoping other people will too. And so the last thing I would like to touch on is, so you have your own podcast.
Yes.
Called the Inspiring Leaders Podcast.
Yes.
I'm obviously a big fan of podcasts. I love the idea. I've talked about it in previous episodes of it really serves two purposes. Firstly, to reach out to the people that need it, but then also for the individual who is the host or the communicator, it gives them a platform to maybe speak about things, to get things off their chest, or to be able to verbalize some of the thoughts and inspirations that they have. So what really was the inspiration behind why you created yours?
Well, it all came from, like, I've always loved podcasts, and I love people's stories. I love talking to people and asking questions about their lives.
Yeah.
And podcasts was a way that I got the story from somebody without asking questions. But then I was always like, I want to have a podcast, but I don't know what to have it about. What do I do? I just talk about myself. How can I interview people? I don't know all those things. And then I found the Global School for Social Leaders, which is a nonprofit in Austria. And I approached them and said, like, hey, I want to do some work with you. I need a university credit. Can you help me with that? And they're like, sure. I started collaborating with them. I'm now a content creation consultant for them. And they wanted to have a better presence online and to create value and show how much value their offer has. And I said, how about I make a podcast for you guys? And it's like, yeah, we actually have this idea of like interviewing leaders, interviewing people. And I said, like, yeah, I'm gonna do this. I will learn as I go. And if you listen to the first episodes, the audio quality is terrible. And then it's getting better because I'm like learning through Clubhouse and finding people like you in this community and learning how to do things better and how to improve myself. And yeah, so that's how it started. And right now we're transitioning from just telling stories to interviewing people and who, like Osana, like Dali, who are doing it every day. They're not just thinking about the ones that had the highest impact. Like I have people like Rosa Parks is the first episode. Not just looking there, but also looking to the people who are just starting and what lessons they have and how they're in that struggle, in that pushing and pulling and adapting and taking those stories and making people known. And if one person says, I want to learn more about Dali's work, then that's amazing. And she can use that to promote herself and to let her cause be known, which is anti-bullying, which is such an important topic.
Yeah, it's a really cool idea. And I like the way you've done it, where you've taken very famous or even maybe not as well-known speeches of theirs and then really dissected it on your view. And so one question to finish on that I have on that, mm-hmm. Do you think that the values that makes up a good leader has evolved over time?
I think so. I do think so. I think going back to what you were saying about the Industrial Revolution and how the idea of a freelancer is growing, I think before leaders had to be a very special way, very strong, very decisive. Mm-hmm. Like they had an idea and they were supposed to push the idea forward. And then people like Simon Sinek now have a different approach to it. And they say a leader is not the person who comes up with the great ideas. It's the one that creates an environment in which great ideas can happen. Yeah. And I think there's a transition that now it's not about the role anymore. It's more about the goal. And I think it has to do with, like, a wartime leader like Winston Churchill. Of course, he couldn't sit down in a meeting room and be like, okay, what do you think, soldier number 5? What do you think, 572? Right. What do you think, 4,087, right there in the corner? Tell me what you think. They needed those fast choices and they needed those decisive choices. But now, where we're enjoying a time of peace in many parts of the world, there's still like civil wars and struggle. There's more adaptable leaders that can be, how do I guide this? How do I push this forward? How do I get the best out of my team? And we have time to get to know each other and to figure out how do I create the best environment for everybody.
Yeah, that's really well said. I love that. I love that so much. I've got nothing to add to that, actually. Yeah, I agree with that a lot.
Yay!
And so, yeah, good stuff. Tick.
Yeah.
So the next part of this would be to move on to the quickfire final 5.
Yes.
Which, if you really want to expand on a question, you can, but the quicker and succinct, the more effective. So if you're ready, we'll kick off with that.
Got it. I'm ready. Shoot.
Perfect. So to kick off, so question 1, what is the most valuable lesson that you learned while you were growing up?
respect others.
Yeah.
Respect everybody. You don't know what their struggle is. You don't know where they came from. Just approach it with respect, everything that you do.
I love that. And I think through what you've shared in your story, I think people strongly agree that you have displayed what you learned there. So that's amazing. And question two, what is the worst advice that you have heard that has been given by a leader, either a past or present?
The worst advice. Don't wear headphones at work.
Yeah.
Once I had a team leader in a project who said, don't wear headphones at work, because she didn't want me to do it. She wanted to impose something on me that it was like, don't wear headphones at work. But I work better when I have headphones on. It's easier for me to concentrate. And she was like, don't wear headphones at work. That just showed me that she wasn't taking time to look at what my challenges were and how my best performance was. Mm. She was applying something that was general to individuals. So don't wear headphones at work.
Yeah. And it comes back to the point of being able to ask the right question of, okay, what will make my employee work better? Where yeah. She was just going straight to the answer of, you know, headphones equals, in her view, unproductivity or, you know, focusing on something else.
Exactly.
Without really starting with the question. So yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. And question three, if you could have dinner with one person, so this is cheating because it's actually two questions in one, but who would it be and what would be the one question you'd ask them?
You know, it's not a specific person, it's the person that was doing something. So at one point in history, at some point in time, a person looked at the sky and said, that star is there, wrote it down. And then a month later came back and said, oh, it's the same star that's there. The person that started documenting, or look at a plant and documented what was happening to the plant. Mm-hmm. And saw it happening to other plants. So I want to talk to the person. I want to go back in time before, like, Constantinople, maybe, or the initials of humanity. The person that started documenting things and started writing random occurrences down and seeing patterns and stuff like that. And I want to meet that person. That it's probably not just one person. It probably is a collection of people. But
yeah,
just meet the one and said, what made you curious about this? It's like, how did you see these things? What made you want to do this? That would be the person.
That's amazing. That would be a great podcast if that was possible.
Yeah.
To be like, just for this 1 hour, can I sit down and ask you why? Just why?
I want to know how their brain works. I want to know what pushed them there. I want to know what made them say, I'm going to look at this thing, I'm going to write it down and then keep records. Because they were probably a nerd. They were probably some kind of nerd. And I want to know what made them want to do that.
Good answer. Very good answer. Question four. Is it more valuable to be a good leader or a good servant?
I think that if you're a good leader, you know when to be a servant.
Wow.
I think that if you're a good leader, you're humble enough to know when to step back and when to follow somebody else.
That is really
If you're
powerful.
A good servant, I think you can get caught in that idea that you're a servant.
Hmm.
And maybe you're so good at it that you never see yourself as a leader. But I think that if you're a good leader, you know when it's time to be a servant.
I always feel like in my episodes, there's at least one quote, and you've had a few, but there's one that really stands out where I'm like, wow, that is a huge teaching that I've taken away that I want to write down and look back over. And for me, that was definitely up there. I love that a lot.
Yes.
Question five. If you could ask your future children for one favor on how you would want them to carry on your legacy, what would that one favor be?
Please always be curious.
Hmm.
Please ask questions. Please just approach everything with curiosity. And that comes from, I think, especially now, we like to slap labels, a lot of labels on people. To give you a silly example, Michael Che is a comedian. He's in Saturday Night Live, and he has this joke about homophobia. And that I can't remember the joke exactly, but the kick of the joke is that you don't know what the person's experience is. That a person can be homophobic, and you assume it's a bad person because they're homophobic. It's like, ask them, where does this come from?
Mm.
Because I don't know. In the kick of the joke, he says, I don't know if that person was walking down the street when they were 6 years old, a group of gay men just threw glitter on his eyes and blinded him for 6 months. I don't know that. I don't know what the person's experience is. So always be curious about other people's experiences before judging them. Because the second that you look at them for their experiences, not just for their labels, you can learn so much from them.
Yeah. It's funny how there's so much depth and value you can take away from comedians and what they say, because often what they're doing is they are communicating real existential issues in the way people think or society, but they're just framing it in a very humorous way. And so for the person listening, they can either just see the comic value in it and laugh it off, or it can really get people thinking the way that you've done. So that's I love that you've taken that angle from it.
If you ever have time and you want to watch a comedy special that changes the way you see the world, go on Netflix, Daniel Sloss's Jigsaw.
Okay.
It made me laugh, but it also made me think. He has broken up marriages. He has been quoting on divorce papers because it's so much about existence and about what it's like to be alive now. And it's such a good... If you ever have time, look it up. It's really great.
Yeah, I will do, for sure. I love that kind of idea. Amazing. And the final bonus question that I like to ask everyone, if you could put a 6-word sentence on your life journey, what would that be?
I wrote it down. It's life can be more than expected.
Oh, I love that a lot.
The life that I have now, it's nothing like I thought it would be 2 years ago. And it's nothing like I thought it would be 5 years ago. And I can't imagine what it's going to be 10 years from now. And it comes from being open and being open to changes. And it can be more than you think it's going to be. So sometimes I think we hold on to plans very tightly. Change doesn't happen to you, it can happen with you. So be a part of the things and look at opportunities that can be, because life can be more than expected.
That's amazing. And like you say, you don't know what it's going to be 10 years from now, but I look forward to being in touch and maintaining this relationship and looking back on 10 years and seeing where it's taken you.
Maybe we'll record a second part of this and I'll be how dare I think that like 2 years ago and so on. And it will be super interesting, like part two. So like the sequel could be better. Maybe we'll break that rule and the sequel could be better.
And I love that you said that, because my idea will be to do in the future, a part two where it kind of goes back and looks like, okay, we talked about your journey. How, you know, what has been that next bit of your journey? And is it anything like you expected? So that is what I'm looking to get from it. So I'm glad you're already confirmed for that. I look forward to that when that happens.
I'm open to that. It's like, I always give the example of the Iron Man movie. I still feel like Robert Downey Jr. owes me 2 hours of my life for Iron Man 2. But I watched Iron Man 3, was great.
There you go.
Iron Man 1 was amazing. The second one was a waste of time. The third one was incredible. So
don't give up.
Even the third part can be good. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, again, thank you so much for everything you've shared, all the vulnerabilities and all the insights. And I really have learned so much from it.
Thank you for having me. It's an amazing experience.
No problem. And I look forward to connecting again.
Of course. Me too.
And a huge thanks to each of you for listening into a conversation that I felt really delivered on being equally as entertaining as it was thought-provoking. My aim from each of these episodes is to bring across views from my third culture guests that can get you thinking and exploring perspectives from an angle that you either may not have considered before, or that you already think similarly about and were able to use this to affirm your way of thinking. Alejandra spoke about becoming aware of the privileges that she was born into, just by having a loving family who were able to provide for her. And by valuing this compared to a person born at the same time who may not have had those same fortunes, helped her to not only become grateful, but it acted as motivation for her to serve those who weren't as fortunate to be born with these same conditions. We also discussed how, through the art of effective questioning, not just changes you'd like to see in the world, but boiling it down to how am I contributing to what I stand for? What am I doing every day to serve this purpose? This is what really helped her to identify her passion, and something that I believe each of you and me can benefit from doing too. Even if it's just as a tool to verify that what we're already doing is aligned with this belief. There were some more amazing insights covered, so I hope you did manage to take something away from what was discussed. Do share your own views and get involved in the discussion either through the Instagram page or directly on the website thejourneyonwards.com/podcast. The website episode link will be available to you in the show notes. For those of you using Apple Podcasts, If you enjoyed it, be sure to leave a review, as each goes a long way to getting these conversations in front of more people. I'll be back next Tuesday, so I hope you will too. And until then, I hope the next week for you is even better than the last one.